It is indeed a great blessing that I'm able to be assembled with you, brethren, again. The last time I was here was 2001, October, somewhere in October. And I really enjoyed myself being here, and I'm looking forward to enjoying myself for the rest of the week. I appreciate the lesson that Brother Hafley taught on the radio broadcast this morning. Good job on the book of Revelation, and I hope that the people that were listening did learn something. I know about the radio broadcast because I used to preach on two different stations, trying to reach the black people in the Mississippi area, and also trying to reach out to the white audience in Mississippi. So I was trying to hit both of them at the same time. Hopefully someone will obey the gospel and become a Christian. So I appreciate that broadcast this morning. I also appreciate Brother David, who's going to be putting up with me for the whole week here. I'm a strange person to deal with. You can ask Brother Hafley. I was with them last time. But I'm doing pretty good and all. And we do have a little baby. I didn't even tell anyone that. We have a little daughter now, 15 months old. I waited a little bit too long to try to have a baby, I tell you. Not me, my wife, excuse me. Not me. Well, that happened where I made history right quick. Not only because I'm black, but I made history. But anyway, I want to teach a lesson this morning from the Bible, dealing with the need of Bible study. Brother and I were brethren in the body of Christ today are just not knowledgeable people anymore. It used to be a long time ago that Church of Christ members were some of the strongest, well-taught Bible members you can find anywhere. But that's not the case today. Many members of the Lord's Church don't even study the Bible once a week. And when they do study, it's only to prepare for Wednesday night Bible class or Sunday morning Bible class. And that is a shame, because if you're going to expect Brother Hafler or any other men here to get up and feed you on Wednesday and Sunday, and you're going to go hungry for the rest of the week, you're never going to grow as a Christian. Bible study is very important. And so I want to mention a few things this morning. I might use the overhead, I might not. This morning I'm deciding not to use it. I believe that's my fault, because I should have asked Brother Yater to come down here with me and set up the thing. You know, I'm not good on the PowerPoint. I have the thing all over the place, so I'm not going to fool with that PowerPoint. I'm not good with it. I'm better with the overhead or either just from my notes. But I hold myself a little responsible for this, because I should have asked him to come down yesterday and set it up for me. But hopefully by this evening, I'll have it fixed the way I want it so that I can preach tonight's lesson. But we're going to look at this subject this morning, dealing with the need of Bible study. So I hear this thing on behind me. I'm going to cut it off here. It looks good, but I'm just not real comfortable with it right now. So I'm just going to do without it for right now. And we'll just look at the lesson that we're going to study from the Word of God. Now, I wrote some things on the board back there, but it can't be seen now. Well, somebody can go back there and move it. Yeah, I guess y'all can see it there. I try to write the print big enough so everybody can see it. Oh, that thing works automatic. Oh, pretty good. Oh, that's pretty good. All right. When I was preaching in some congregation in Birmingham, Alabama, I can't remember which one it was, one way to get the audience quiet so they can get ready for worship was to dim the lights. Well, these brothers didn't dim the lights. What they did was, when I was preaching too long up there, I was up there, I guess, a few minutes too long, they had a heater about this high. And boy, I had a bald head at the time. And I was beginning to wonder why my hair was getting high all of a sudden. And then I asked the brother and lady, say, well, that means you're supposed to come down from up there. That's what that means. I said, well, I didn't know at the time. I was busy going, you know. So will someone please let me know when I'm supposed to, like, get to the last few minutes so I know what to do. This thing hit my hair something too. I want to be ready, you know. But anyway, let's turn to a couple of scriptures here this morning. I want to turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, and the verse is number 2. Very familiar text that tells us about Bible study and why it's so important. That's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. And I'm going to read each one of them from the King James translation. And I want you to know that Peter wanted these brethren to desire the Word of God. I believe the reason why a lot of brethren today are ignorant when it comes to the Scripture, and that's the first point I'm going to talk about. Well, the subject that we're studying is the need for Bible study. Well, the reason we need Bible study, brethren, is because of the results of ignorance. We have a lot of brethren who are just ignorant when it comes to God's Word. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, as newborn babes. Well, they were newborn Christians. They were new babes in Christ, and babies desire milk. That's the first thing they desire. They don't desire any meat, anything like that. They desire milk. And so he says, as newborn babes, long for or desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. One reason why many brethren are ignorant is because they don't desire the word of God. We must desire it. We must desire it just like we desire physical food. I don't think I'd like to go hungry for a whole week without eating the food. I think I'll probably go, well, you know, I might can for a while. I don't did it before, but it's not easy because you have those strong desires, those strong urges. Well, that's the kind of desire and urge that we should have. There was a man by the name of John Clayton who was a very intelligent man. And he made a decision to read the Bible to prove that it was worthy of man's high regard. Now, he didn't, not worthy of man's high regard. He didn't care much for reading the Bible. But what he did was he ended up reading the Bible, and he got converted by the Bible. God's word tells us in Romans 10, 17, so that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we want to grow in the faith, if we want to get stronger, if we want to be able to fight false teaching, you'll never be able to do it if you're ignorant when it comes to the scripture. Some people hate the word ignorant because they think it's a mean word, but the word ignorance is not a mean word. We might have some electricians in here this morning, and they might know exactly how this wiring in this building is set up. But if you ask me how it's done, I'd never be able to tell you how it's done. All I know how to do is go back there and cut the switch on. And when I cut it on, I expect the lights to come on. If I click it and nothing happens, I'm going to be in the dark. I don't know what's going on. I'll just call for an electrician to come over here and fix it for us, right? Well, we as Christians don't need to be ignorant when it comes to God's word. That means you just don't have any knowledge in a certain area. And I believe we all are not the most knowledgeable people in the world, because if we did, we would know everything. And I will tell you right now, I don't know any of everything. I know some things, but not everything. And so I'm ignorant of a lot of things. But we shouldn't be ignorant when it comes to God's word. God's chosen people under the old covenant were destroyed because of lack of knowledge, according to Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6. Punishment is going to be dished out to those who know not God, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Those who know not God and obey not the gospel. There will be many who are ignorant of God's word, atheists, Gnostics, because they fail to want to learn about God. Now, you'll be surprised how some atheists know the Bible better than some Christians do. I can't tell you the name of this man. I didn't bring my notes on him, but I was really shocked to hear this atheist that memorized the whole Old Testament. He didn't memorize it just from the King James. He memorized it in Hebrew. And I said to myself, I'm having trouble just memorizing one chapter of the Bible. This man memorized the whole Old Testament in Hebrew. But you know why he did that? Just to look for loopholes in the Bible so that he can try to prove that God is not the God of heaven. That's why he did it. Isn't that something? Waste all that time doing that. He still didn't believe in God. Isn't that something? Well, that will let us know that since we are Christians and since we love God and we want to seek his kingdom first, we should learn the Bible too. I'm not saying everyone in here needs to be a Greek scholar, a Hebrew scholar, because I'm not. But we need to learn God's word enough where we can defend the truth. So the need of Bible study is very important, because without Bible study, a lot of members are going to be ignorant when it comes to God's word. The Gentile world was alienated from the life of God that God gives because of their ignorance of the true God of heaven. You can read that in Romans chapter 1. God... three times in Romans chapter 1, God was so displeased with these people that he didn't want to have anything to do with them. Now, we're talking about the Gentiles here in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 2 talks about the Jews, and then Paul says in Romans 3 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the Jew and the Gentile. But in chapter 1, he talks about the Gentiles, how that they didn't want to have any knowledge of God. They didn't want to know who he was. And so God had gave them up three times because of the wickedness of their hearts. And you can see that in verse number 24, where it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And then in verse number 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections or vile passions. And then verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They were just some wicked people. But what caused them to be so wicked in the way they were? I believe it's because lack of knowledge of God and them worshiping and serving idol gods rather than serving the true God. The Jewish people's ignorance of a proper understanding of the old covenant led them to crucify Christ. Yes, they did it because of ignorance. Paul was ignorant at one time too, because he followed the traditions of his father. He followed the Old Testament teaching, and he wanted to crucify. He didn't want to crucify, but he wanted to punish, or put in jail, or persecute anyone that was following Christ. And the Old Testament led up to Christ, and Paul should have knew better. But the Jewish people's ignorance caused them to crucify Christ, according to Acts 3:17. If you like to have that scripture, that's Acts 3:17. Well, let me mention Paul again. We talked about, I mentioned a few minutes ago, how he persecuted the church. But why did he do it? Well, he did it because of ignorance. He persecuted the children of God. I only need to read one scripture to prove that Paul did this out of ignorance and unbelief. He just didn't know any better. And that's 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. And I'll read this scripture here quick. And Paul was a blasphemer. He was, you know, he said, who was before a blasphemer, persecutor, injurious? But I obtained mercy because I did it what? Ignorantly and unbelief. So see, even Paul was like that at one time. So there's no acceptable reason for people being ignorant of God's word today. No reason why we should. If a brother or sister is too lazy to open up the Bible and read it once a day for 10 minutes or 15 minutes a day, they can go in the store and find a religious bookstore and buy a whole cassette tape by Alexander Scobie reading the whole Bible of the Old and New Testament. They can just stick a cassette tape in and play it for 15 minutes, and they can go through a whole chapter of the Bible in less than 5 or 6 minutes. There's no reason why brethren today should be ignorant of God's word. So the need of Bible study is very important, brethren, in the brotherhood. A lot of brethren today are ignorant of a lot of things. That's why brethren commit the sins they commit, like dancing, watching things they shouldn't see on television, that's getting the lustful lust that they have, lusting after things, not being able to defend the truth because of ignorance. Well, let's look at one more. Let's look at a couple more here. Another one that I want to mention here that caused a lot of problems, as you can see on the board, is because we need to provide for the spiritual man. Now, another reason why Bible study is so important, because the inward man needs to be fed daily. And how do we feed him? Not with physical food. We have to feed him with the word of God. Our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Listen at that scripture one more time. And you can see in this scripture how important it is for us to study God's word. Listen, man shall not live by bread. That's physical. He said, not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And what does God want us to know? What is God? What is his words? What does he want us to do? Found right in the Bible. And if you and I don't study it and grow in it every day, we're not going to feed the spiritual man. It is the spiritual qualities of man, more so than the intellectual quality, that rises when man above levels, that keeps us from being like lower animals. See, we're different from animals. We have a soul. And that soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. But if we don't teach and build up our inward man daily, as Paul said we should, we're going to have trouble when we stand before God. Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, very important scripture, so I'm going to read that one. I know most of us are familiar with it, but I want to read it anyway. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 26, very familiar scripture. But listen at what he says here. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what should a man give in exchange for a soul? Our souls are very important, brother, very important. And it's going to spend eternity somewhere. So we need to make sure that we learn and study and feed our inward man daily as we read the Bible every day. Make time to read the Bible. Some brothers just say they'll make excuses like, I just don't have enough time. I work 48 hours a week, 60 hours a week sometimes. I don't have enough time to do it. They have time to go to work. If they have time to go to work, they have time to sit down and worship. Well, worship and read the scriptures, pray to God, come to attend all the Bible services, Bible on worship services, so they can grow and learn. There's no excuse for it, because the inward man is way more important than a job is. Now, a job is very important, because if you don't work, you can't support your family. But you also have to remember that without God's help, we'll never be able to do the things we're doing. So we need to study the Bible, and we need to grow. Our spiritual being requires spiritual good, just like the physical man desires food. The spiritual man does too. We have to feed him. That's why Peter said, desire this sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We have to desire God's word. Let me read something else to you here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 right quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And just want to read a few verses from this chapter, the first three verses. And you'll notice he talks about the spiritual, and he talks about babes in Christ, and he talks about they were not able to receive anything because they were still little babies. Notice what he says. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. I couldn't do it. But unto as carnal, as unto babes in Christ. They lacked the spirituality. They were coming up short here. They were not growing as they should. They were weak. Notice what he says in verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Some members are still on milky things. They are still on the basic things of Christianity and haven't gone any further. Like how many here right now can, I know most of you brethren are well taught, so you probably won't have any trouble with it, but there are some brethren in the body of Christ that can't even tell you what the work of the church is, what the church is supposed to do. They don't know. That's why a lot of our brethren are participating in things that are unscriptural, such as fellowship meals, singing groups, skits and plays in church. When we had these, I was down there, but I'm right in Mississippi, so I was there when Katrina came through there. Well, we got hit too. But you know, a lot of members of the church, a lot of church of prior congregation went in their treasury and took money out of their treasury to help the needy people. And you know, members who don't study the Bible say that was a good thing. I think they did a good thing to take money out of to help those brothers. But you know what? We have no scriptural authority for that. Not according to the New Testament. We're studying the book of Acts right now. And we already don't study chapter 2, chapter 6. And in those chapters, it always talks about needy brethren. And they had a famine that was in the world. But Luke only talked about helping the needy saints. Sure, we can help them individually. Sure. Matter of fact, some of you brethren did. If y'all can recall, when I was here in 2001, I kept talking every night. I said, I'm the only black man in town. I kept saying it over and over again. And on the last night of the meeting, a black man came in here. He came in. If y'all remember, he was riding a bicycle. He was homeless. And some of you brothers went in your pockets to help him. I saw some of you do that. But you know what? We didn't go in the trench for here to do that. We helped him individually because that's what we're supposed to do. Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. But scripturally, we can't go in the lost treasure to take mine out to help those who are not Christians. I know if some people think we're mean and think we're being selfish and don't have any concern for people. We do have concern for people, but we just have to do it the way God wants it done. But there are some brethren who are ignorant of this. That's why we have liberal brethren today who do everything out of the treasure. They have colleges and everything. Where's the scriptural authority for that? We have no scriptural authority. What causes this problem? Brethren not well taught in the scripture. They're still acting, calling them out, they're acting like babes in Christ, and they should have been going on to the meaty things of God's word. And Paul says right here, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto you were not able to bear, neither now are you able, for you are carnal, fleshly. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not called and walk as men? I have a friend by the name of Ashley. His last name is Ashley Washington. He's a nice fellow. He hooked me up with, when I say hook up, that's the word we use. He set me up to preach in, I preached in three institutional churches, black. Now, why would they have me come preach for them? I don't know, but they asked me. And I went in there and preached for them. And you know what I preached on. I preached on what they were having problems with. I preached on where's the scripture authority for singing groups? Where's the scripture authority for fellowship meals? I preached, the last time I preached was in a place called Jordan, in Dothan. It was in Dublin, Georgia. I preached, that was a year and a half ago. And they had a fellowship meal built right next to the building. And so when I got up to preach, I said, brother, I'm at the best you know something. I'm not trying to be mean, not trying to act like I'm better than anybody else, but I said, I cannot eat in that building with you all. And everybody had about 150 people there. I said, I can't eat with you all in that building. Everybody wondering why. I said, my conscience would not allow me to do it. I don't believe the New Testament teaches that's what the word fellowship means. It's never used in that fashion. I say we are not supposed to go in the Lord's treasure to take mine out to build a building like that for that purpose. I can't eat in that building. But that's why I was staying there. So you know what they did? They left me in my side of my room, and they shut the door, and I heard them over there clicking those spoons eating. And they left me in the other room. I couldn't eat with them, and that caused some of them to question me at the end of service, and I'm glad they questioned me. And I told them, I said, brother, look, if you went in your pocket and built that building out of your own pocket, now if one of you brothers want to spend $20,000, $30,000, build that thing out of your own pocket, you can do that. I said, look, that's not part of the church then. I eat with you over there. But I said, if you took the money out of the treasury to build it, that's for the wrong purpose, because that's not the work of the church, entertainment and all, and doing that. I said, we can come together and eat anywhere, not take money out of the treasury to build a facility for that reason. And some of them understood, and they were glad I said what I did. So, but brother, the inward man needs to be strengthened, and the way we strengthen the inward man is by Bible study every day. The Bible is able to teach us, reprove us, correct us, and show us the way of righteousness that will make us complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. God's word can reprove us, correct us, and encourage us and build us up. But we need to study it daily. The Bible contains everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, everything that pertains to this life as a Christian. We don't need to read books written by men. We go right to this Bible, and it tells us all that God wants us to do to be a faithful child of his. Everything we need is in this Bible. Now, if you know everything is in this Bible that you need, why aren't you studying it? Why aren't you picking it up every morning, reading it for 30 minutes before you go to work, 15 minutes before you go to work? You come home and you sit down and make time to read it every day so you can learn what God wants you to do. That's why the need of Bible study is so important. All right, let's go to point three. Another reason why Bible study is important is because it is man's only way to obtain saving faith. You can't get saving faith any other way except from the Bible. Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible to please God without faith. But how does faith come? It comes by hearing God's word. You're not going to believe something that you never heard before. So faith comes by hearing God's word. Faith in God is critical, as well as faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're doomed. Jesus said, if you don't believe, you're going to die in your sins. That's John 8 and 24. So we have to believe. So God's word gives us what we call the saving faith. I mean, faith comes by hearing God's word. And we believe it, and then we obey it. Our justification before God comes through obedient faith. To be justified and made just, we have to have obedient faith. It comes through obeying God's word. And the Bible makes it very clear that our only way of obtaining this faith is from learning and obeying the word of God. Romans 10:17. Well, let me use Romans 1:16 this time. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I can quote the scripture. I know it by heart, and so do you probably. Many of you know it by heart. But let me read it for this reason. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. That word shame, that means blush. Paul didn't say, I'm not going to blush when it comes to preaching Christ. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power. We get our word dynamite from this Greek word. And dynamite said, we get our Greek word dynamite from this word. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For herein is the righteousness of God. And he goes on to say, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Do I still have, I still got some time, right? I better get these 2 points in, okay? So that's what it does. So Bible reading gives us faith, a saving faith. To stay obedient, but of course we have to be obedient, because faith without works is dead. James chapter 1. He says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. James chapter 1 and verse 21 and 22. And of course, Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Luke 6:46. So we do have to be doers of the word. And then number four, because only the truth can make us free. There's nothing else in the world that can make you free. The Quran cannot make you free. It cannot. You can read it over and over again, but it will not set you free from sin, because it was written by men, unholy men, who were not guided by the Holy Spirit as they wrote that book. Muhammad was not a holy man of God. If you ever read about this man before, he's a pretty wicked fellow. Did a lot of things. And who wants to read a book that tells us that we are supposed to destroy other people because they don't believe what we believe? That's why we have the problem we have now, because if we convert over to the Quran, you know what will happen to the United States? We won't have to worry about terrorists anymore. All we have to do is convert over to the Quran, throw our Bibles away, and just pick up the Quran, start reading it. And tell the Muslims, we're converted. We're with y'all now. We won't have any problems. They hate us over here because they hate Christians. They really do. They really hate Christians. And if they read their own Bible, they can see that it contradicts itself. It's not the word of God, but we have it read here in our hands. All we have to do is read it. But God's word can set us free. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, scripture, I use this scripture for my radio broadcast because our broadcast is called Ye Shall Know the Truth. Y'all broadcast is called Search the Scriptures, something like that. Ours is called Ye Shall Know the Truth, okay? And so I make people mad, but I say, look, that's what my program is, Ye Shall Know the Truth. So you get a lot of people upset with that broadcast sometimes. But anyway, in verse number 32, it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It can set you free from sin. There's no other book written by man that can do it. Only this Bible can do that. And you mean to tell me that we know that it can do that, and brethren in the church are too lazy to read? It doesn't matter how old you are. Some people get old and figure, I don't have to read my Bible anymore. I know it pretty good, and I only just prepare for Bible class. That's all I need to do. Once I get prepared for Bible class, that's it. Then they spend the rest of the time doing other things, like watching television or going out doing something else. No, you got to continue to keep reading God's word. This word has everything in it you need. And you're missing out on a lot of wonderful things that God wants you to do when you don't read your Bible. That's why Bible study is so important, and that's why we need it. To know Jesus is to know the truth, for he is truth. John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is through an obedient faith to this truth that men are set free from sin. You have to be obedient to it. I talked about that earlier. But let me mention one here. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 23 right quick. Only problem now, I hope I don't get through too fast. If I do, that'll give me a couple minutes to work with this. Okay. Well, let's go ahead on anyway. I still got one more. But anyway, let's look at 1 Peter and look at verse number 22, please. It says, seeing you have purified your souls. How do they purify their souls? In obeying the truth. The truth shall make you free. Watch this. Through the spirit of unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart. Being born again, not a corruptible seed. Watch this. But an incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So it is through truth that an obedient faith to this truth that can set man free from sin. Have to be obedient to the truth. The Jews were set free on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Cornelius was set free from sin, Acts 10. The Ethiopian eunuch, Acts 8. Saul, Acts 9. Lydia, Acts 8. You know, we can read about these people. The jailer, Acts 16. All of them were set free from sin when they obeyed the gospel. But they had to believe in the word of God. And we are admonished by the wise man in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. How important is the word of God to you, brethren, this morning? Is it that important to you? Buy the truth and sell it not. And people will be deceived and perish because they not only did not believe the truth, but they didn't love it. We have Christians today that don't even love the truth, and they show it by not reading the Bible. I mean, a lot of you men tell your wife you love her. I mean, they don't need to hear about it. I don't say it too much either, so I need to be saying a little bit more, but but I think they love hearing that sometimes. How many men get to hear from their wife, I love you, honey. I love you in your bad ways. I love you. It's a wonderful thing to do that, you know, to know that. But see, the way we show God that we love him is by studying the word and not studying only, but being doers. So people will be deceived and perish because they do not believe the truth. Felix, Acts chapter 24, he didn't. Agrippa, Acts 26, he didn't. And many others, you know, today who reject the truth will not obey it. They're going to be lost in the last day. They're not going to receive all those spiritual blessings. Now we'll get to this last one. And I know you can see the last one behind me, the last one is did a judge. Of course, we're going to be judged by the Bible. Yes. That's the final thing there. We're going to be judged by this Bible that we failed to read, failed to study, didn't get acquainted with, didn't realize all the importance of reading the Bible. Because we will be judged by it. There is coming a day of reckoning in which all nations will be brought into the judgment in the presence of God and have to give account for everything they've done in this life. The judgment of God will be based upon, guess what? The word of God. That's John 12 and 48 says that. Jesus said, if you reject this word, it's going to judge you in the last day. So it's going to judge us. And we'll be judged according to our deeds, according to this New Testament. You know what? We're not going to be judged by the Old Testament. Oh, no. That's for the people under the Old Testament. We're going to be judged by the New Testament. That's the one we're living under today. And we're going to be judged by it. So we better get familiar with it. We better read it and study it every day so that we learn God's will. There is no other book more important than the Bible. To neglect the diligent study of the Bible is almost atheism itself when you think about it. You want to know why people become atheists? Because they don't believe in God. They don't believe in God. They read the Bible and had an open mind. I believe God's word would convert them. And some have been converted. Like this man I mentioned to you earlier, John Clayton. Many have been converted. You know the man that wrote the book called Ben Hur? I know most of us here seen Ben Hur. It's a long movie, but I know most of us seen it. Well, the fellow that wrote that book, he was an atheist. But then he got converted as he read the Bible. I can't think of his name, so you know somebody might know it, but I can't think of it right now. God is or God is not. You have to make up my mind which one. Are we going to serve him, worship him, read the scriptures daily? God has spoken through his word. Or he has remained silent, one of the two. Are we going to keep him silent by not reading the Bible? Are we going to open it up and let God speak to us? Because that's the only way he can talk to us today. God don't speak to us in dreams anymore. No handwriting on the wall. Nothing like that. He speaks to us only through this New Testament. And so, brethren, I will encourage you with all that I have. And I'm sure all preachers do the same thing with congregations. Boy, if we can get everybody to study their Bible, you'd be surprised how strong the congregations can be. Boy, there are some congregations, this might be one of them, that are strong because they know that word. They study their Bible. They love the word of God. And that's the attitude we're going to have. The Bible is God's word. It is either God's word or it's not. And so let's close with this. If the Bible is God's word, its warning is to be heed. Its promises are to be enjoyed. It is to be searched diligently. It is to be divided rightly. Its commandments should be kept. And so that means we need to study it daily. So I hope that, did I get through too fast? Well, that's okay. Oh, right on time. Boy, I tell you, that was it. The Holy Spirit was guiding me. That's what did that, see? Now I'm the teaser. I don't want nobody to get the wrong point here. Now I'm just teasing now with that. get through. No. I hope you got some out of the class. I enjoyed teaching and I hope you did. Look forward. Now I'm looking forward to bringing a series of lessons on before you this rest of this week, Lord willing. Thank you.